Joining me round the table to share their stories and offer their insights is Louise Karim, Managing Director of Mums at Work. This started in April of this year. She's a mum of two boys, 3 and 1.5 year old. Hello, welcome to the show, Louise.
Hi, good morning.
It's great to have you here and thanks for bringing the survey to the table today.
Pleasure.
And we're going to find out why you needed to do this survey and the ethos behind Mums at Work as well. Alongside Louise, we've got founder and chairman of The Entertainer. The Entertainer, you know, the two for ones. We're all big fans of The Entertainer book in the UAE. It's been going for 15 years and we have the founder and chairman here. And she's a mum of two children, Chloe, who's 6, and Jack, who's 3. That's Donna Benton. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Susan.
Good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How are things at The Entertainer?
Very good. Thank you.
Busy?
Very busy. About to launch all of our new products for next year, which we can touch base on a bit later.
Fantastic. Also alongside, a real pleasure to welcome to the show Tricia Evans. She's a business coach, writer, keynote speaker, residing in the UAE for all of 23 years, raising her daughter alone, might I add. She's 18 now. That's Sean, and it's great to have you here, Tricia.
Okay, great to be back.
Yeah, good to see you. And how's Sean doing?
She's great. She started a gap year in Germany at the moment, just finished Oktoberfest.
Excellent.
Working there, but working. Yeah, she's great. Starts around the year.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about your story as well, Tricia. Obviously working for many years here in the UAE, connecting with so many people on different levels, not only through work, but through chairing. I know you're on the board of Golf for Good for many years. We've climbed a mountain together. We did Kilimanjaro this year, didn't we?
Yeah, we certainly have.
Yeah, and you're on the board, of course, of schools as well with Sean. Very active in her upbringing, whilst bringing her up on your own, but also working as a business coach. So a lot to juggle there.
Yeah.
So let's look at this survey then and what you've brought to the table, Louise, and the findings from the survey.
Sure, yeah. We undertook this survey with YouGov with a complete understanding that there is a huge untapped talent out there in the marketplace. And we knew exactly that there'd be so many women who want to return to work, but we weren't sure of the numbers. So we were quite amazed by the results that we got. 77% of women in the region who used to have professional roles would be welcome going back to the workplace after having children if they could get some flexibility in their roles, which, you know, is pretty amazing stat, really.
Well, looking at news stories as well, and from the national newspaper, Abu Dhabi's working mums need flexible hours. There's another survey there looking a lot at local women, actually, conducted in Abu Dhabi, found that this survey that most women felt that more flexible hours in the workplace would help them significantly. Looking at questioning 84 women in the Emirate who had a child in the past 10 years, about half of whom were Emirati. Out of the 84 women, only 12 were given flexible hours and 43 were given a restricted 1 hour off when they returned to work.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? So flexible hours for you, Donna. Your children are little ones. So your career was well and truly on its way. When it came to deciding to have children in context of the business, so 15 years ago with Entertainer, some years later you decide to have children.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started The Entertainer, I was only 26. So I think having children then, starting a company, would have been very different. You know, when you don't have that responsibility, you can do what you want. You know, you've got the energy, you don't have any distractions. So I think for me, having children a little bit later gave me, I always wanted to be financial when I had children. That was a big thing for me, to be able to look after them and to be able to give them time as well. So I really wanted that balance in my life. I am a working mum and I really enjoy working, but I also enjoy being a mum and having the option of when I want to, I suppose, switch on and off at that time. So I think when I had my kids, the company was already established and I was fortunate enough to be able to employ staff and have them running. But saying that, I'm also very involved in the company as well. So it's, and I like the kids to see what I do. I like them to have a mum growing up working, so it instills them in that when they grow up as well.
Can I ask you, were you already married when you set up The Entertainer?
No.
Okay, so I'm just getting the timeline in place because it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, you know, everyone's got a different story to tell, but it does lead into when decisions are made. So when did you meet and marry your husband?
Yeah, so I had The Entertainer. I was with The Entertainer for 7 years before I met my husband. And then we got married, I think, 2 years later after I met him and literally had kids after 6 months. Mm. I fell pregnant after 6 months and then had them. So it was quite quick because I left not too late, but, you know, I always wanted to have kids. But we had them, you know, quite quickly. And I always said, I'm going to have all my kids before 40.
There you go. Well, interestingly, you had a clear plan. You had an idea of what you wanted. And, you know, the fact that you knew you wanted to work, you wanted a career, you knew you wanted to have children one day. You want your children to see you working as a role model. So, you know, not everyone has that clear idea, but you clearly did.
And I did. Yeah. And I wanted to have energy and I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be able to play with them. You know, I wanted to be a fun mum as well. So that's really important to me, to be able to do things with them as well.
Similar story or different story for you, Tricia?
Well, different. I must admit, I had a plan, but plans go wrong. Things happen, because I've been in Dubai 23 years and I set up as a coach then. So I was already working. Came to join partner at the time, married him, and I was an older mum. So Sian was an IVF baby and I had her when I was 41. So
that's not old.
It's not old, actually. And I think when you're older mums, you've thought it through, I think. If you're going to do that, you think it through. And I was a very conscious mum. So I thought, right, we got it cracked. You know, I was a coach, had the business, her husband was running PricewaterhouseCoopers, all very well, you know, a ton of money, and he walked out when she was 5 months old. So stuff happens.
Yeah, and things happen.
It really does happen. And it, to say it brought me up sharp was the understatement of the year. You know, I thought I'd married my soulmate. I thought this was a culmination of everything we had together. So that was a real shock. And loads of my friends, I know about 10 people who've got little kids at the moment. And I look at the five-month-old kids and the mums and realise how vulnerable you are at that stage when you just had a baby. Yeah. So, you know, looking back now, it was pretty tough to survive it, really. Mm. But, it was important to me to work. Well, I had to work, actually, all the way through. But I would have done anyway. I knew myself I'd not be a good stay-at-home mum, and I think I've been a great role model for Sian because I've managed to juggle and had the flexibility. But I've worked from home. Mm. I chose to work from home.
People texting in on working mums. Kathy says, amazing, inspiring role models. That's my guest. Talking about you three, my guests today are Louise Kareem, who's managing director of Mums at Work, a mum of two little boys, along with founder and chairman of The Entertainer, Donna Benton, and she's got two kids. Chloe 6 and Jack 3, and Tricia Evans, business coach and writer, keynote speaker, and she has her 18-year-old daughter, Sian, and lots of people texting in. One person's just said here, what if the mom is the breadwinner? So you're married or not, as you know, as the case may be. You may have, like in Tricia's case, you know, was left alone with her daughter as a baby, a five-month-old baby. She got to work to stay in the UAE and to raise her daughter. If you're married and you are you're bringing in most of the money, you're the major wage earner of the couple, and you want to have children. So these are things that you have to consider. Louise, when you're working with your business, recruiting potential mums to get back into the workplace, Mums at Work, what kind of women, what kind of mums, what kind of people are coming to you?
A huge breadth of different types of experience, different types of cultures. We are dealing predominantly with professionals, so people that have professional roles previously. So, you know, we're placing directors at companies, we're working with HR, we're working with admin. So, you know, completely across the board, and we're getting women that match that. We've had about 8,000 CVs so far. So, you know, there's that demand out there for sure. The biggest requirement people have is flexibility. It's not necessarily salary. Obviously, that is important and becoming more so, I think, in this market. But flexibility is definitely the key to what these women want when they're coming to us.
Well, one of our listeners here is saying, I'm a full-time working mom. I gave up a career as an accountant due to inflexibility in the workplace and lack of part-time options. So I started my own business and now life is super busy, but the flexibility allows me to give the kids time and do something I absolutely love.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah.
And that's kind of what you created for yourself, Tricia, really. You're in a situation, you're already working, but there you are, having a baby, bringing up a small child, and so you work for yourself.
Yeah, and I was already established as a coach and decided that, and I loved it, absolutely loved it. And but the couple of decisions I made, one was to work from home, so I'm sponsored at Knowledge Village, but working from home so that I was always around. And the other thing you've got to have, any working mum, you've got to have good backup. If you haven't got good backup, you are screwed.
Yeah,
because the tiniest first thing that goes wrong, you're just sucked into it. So it's really, really, really important.
And it does go wrong as well.
You know, it does.
My boys are in nursery, but I have a nanny at home because I'm lucky enough to be able to do that because they get sick or, you know, and I also have a very flexible role like the other two ladies here, so we're very lucky in that way.
For the person who's saying that, what if the mum is the breadwinner, long working hours, the husband works but for less income, a mum feels can't have children because you know, she can't give the time to do that, and there isn't maybe all the support that she would need to take that time out to have the baby. Your thoughts on that? I mean, whether it's something in your own experience or not, but if someone's to say to you, you know, I'd love to have start a family, I'd love to have a baby, but it's just really difficult for me and my husband.
I'd probably say to that, you can. it's just working it out. So with that, you can basically work up until you give birth. You've got your maternity leave that you can spend with your child that you actually get paid for, and then you go back to work. So, I mean, if you're the breadwinner, in a nice way, you're probably earning a decent income, so you could afford to have some home help at the same time. Yeah. And also, maybe if your husband's not earning as great a salary or he's struggling at work, you know, maybe look at the options where you go back to work and maybe he might stay home and work. You know, where there's a problem, there's always a solution. I wouldn't say you definitely can't have kids because you're the breadwinner. So you can have kids, definitely. It's just how you go around it. You need that balance, that work-life balance. Yes, you can't spend every single day with your kids for a whole year because you're the breadwinner. But having kids is also very, very much about balance. And you'll generally find when you have them, and this is just me as a mum, you love them so much. It's about the quality time with them. Yeah. But you actually look forward to going back to work just to have some normal chat and, you know, with some colleagues. So there really is a balance. So never really say that you can't do it. I'm sure you can find the time to get pregnant. So it's just maintaining what you can do when you have the kids.
And you can also look at your career options as well. You know, if you've got sort of established job and you've got a good relationship with people at work, you can speak to them about it and see what they can do. You know, I'm sure if you're a strong employee, they won't just sort of dismiss you. But then, you know, there's companies like ourselves that can help you on that path as well to look for a flexible role. So it's kind of about planning as well, as much as you possibly can, and covering all bases, because as you said before, you know, it will happen and you will need that backup plan.
Sorry Susan, a lot of the women in my office who get pregnant, because I'm a mum myself, I'm a little bit more flexible, so they will either ask for an extra, you know, month or two off with no pay, or they'll come back a little bit early but work a lot lesser hours so they can be there for their feeding times and things. So really it's just having that relationship with your boss and for them to have the flexibility to be able to help you maybe during the first 3 months of when you have your baby.
My guest today, I've got Louise Kareem, who's Managing Director of Mums at Work. She's a mum of two boys and just set up in April, Mums at Work, had a terrific response. So really helping with recruitment of women getting back into the workplace or continuing with their career path or maybe looking to change careers. Many people talk about that when having children, perhaps you have to think differently, think outside the box, be a bit more creative about how to work, and different hours, flexible hours seems to be very high on people's agenda. Alongside, we have founder and chairman of The Entertainer, that's Donna Benton, mum of two children, Chloe and Jack, and we've got Tricia Evans, who's a business coach, been here in the UAE for 23 years and raising her child as a single mum. That's Sean, who's now 18 years of age, just finished school, she's doing a gap year before she starts university, and it's really good to have the three of you in the studio with me today. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Belinda on the line. Good morning to you, Belinda.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
So, Belinda, what did you want to share with us? You've got two children, 11 and 9, and you've got your business. You set up your business, Queen Bee. How's it going?
Yes, it's going very well. I gave up my full-time career 9 years ago when my son was born as a fashion designer. And then I created a brand called Queen Bee, selling greeting cards. And then about 2 years ago, I launched into the art market. And so we're retailing to about 45 shops around the UAE. And my question to the panel is, I've reached a point now where I'm still working alone and I'm a bit swamped. And I just want to ask them at which point they felt they were at that tipping point and they got help. with how to go forward with expansion.
So when's the right time to build the business? And that's an interesting question, isn't it? Because if you just look at the profession and the business side, you've already said that there's a lot going on, you're really busy, so that would seem like a natural time to look at expansion. However, you've got an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old at home. Mm-hmm. So over to the panel, who'd like to take this question? Tricia.
A lot of it depends what you want to happen and what your kids are like and what stage, how much time you want to spend with them. Because if you're going to take a business to another level, you need to be realistic about how much of your time that will take. I mean, that's great. It sounds like it's growing and brilliant. I mean, good for you. It's great.
Thank you.
But you need to sort of factor it in, talk with your partner, if your husband, if you've got a, and then literally plan it out and think, how much time is it going to be? How are you going to spend time as a family? It just depends. So there's no magic answer. I mean, my business has grown. Well, I've always stayed freelance. I made a conscious decision to stay freelance because I didn't think I could cope with being a single mum and running a business and employing people. So that was a conscious decision. And once you employ people, you bring in a lot more issues, and it sucks you in a lot more and sucks you away from home.
Yeah, that's a good point, isn't it?
Whilst
you're managing and doing a good job as a sole trader or as a single business owner, when you're looking at bringing staff into the play, that could take up a lot more time. Louise?
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, bringing staff in there, I think that's one of the critical decisions you've got to make. You've got to see how much time you have to commit to it and where the gaps are, and how you look to fill those gaps, really, whether it be through full-time sort of staff, part-time staff, whether it's contract in certain busy periods. You could have someone to help you with the launch project and then sort of see how you go. And someone like a working mum is probably ideal for that because they can give you that flexibility. But I think, as Trish said, it's developing a plan and being quite strict with yourself and working with your partner as well, with your husband, to see how much he can give whilst you're sort of very busy with the business.
Hi, Belinda, it's Donna. How are you? I actually know Belinda personally.
Donna, yeah.
How are you? So I'd say, Belinda, it's having your own company, and I know your company, Queen Bee, and it's great. It isn't easy having your own company, but it's so, so rewarding at the same time. And I know that you've got so much passion in it. And I think with your business, it is you, because you're the creative arm of your business. So for you, I think it's more about wanting to do it, having that balance, and how far you want the business to go. And really, it's when you can get that spare time to be able to do your creativity and your thoughts and your business side. Maybe you could get somebody to come in to do all the admin side of things while you have your creative arm to expand at the same time, and maybe structuring the kids' after school sports and school, maybe to share that a little bit with your husband and get a schedule going if you're really serious about the expansion of it.
So working out daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, where your time is. Do you work better in the morning, in the evening, where you can portion your time, and what it's really going to need to take your business to the next level, and what do you need to be in place for support. Organisation seems to be a key word. And I know, Tricia, when you're coaching people, you will, you'll get the flip charts out and you look at how people may be organised, but can you be more efficient? Can you be even more organised and understanding? And so finding those tools and ways to, map the day out. Because if you're a creative person and you've got busyness and chaos, are you productive? Some people might be, some people might not be. So you really need to know the sort of person you are. Do you thrive under pressure? Do you thrive when things get stressful? Or are you someone actually that would be better staying, working more in an insular way?
Yeah, definitely one thing I'd say is don't try and do it all. People often say that to me. How do you manage to do it all? And I say that's because I don't do it all. I do the bits that only I can do. And I find I work a lot with women consistently. And I think we are, in general, amazing multitaskers. The fact that we are amazing multitaskers doesn't mean we should multitask. And I think loud and clear, you need to work out what are the things that only you can do. And so in my situation, for example, I felt only I could raise my daughter, only I could be a coach, only I could give back in a way I wanted to, and everything else I delegated. Everything. everything. And so when I talked about having backup at home, I'm not talking about having a maid who did what she was told. I'm talking having a housekeeper stroke driver who literally was proactive, and it just literally was like almost a mini me at home. And it is worth every dirham you will spend. You know, it's so important to have that backup. And I had a PA who we've been working together 16 years. To this day, I call her my blood pressure lowerer. And she does all the stuff for me, the stuff that drives you bonkers, the stuff that has to be done, but it doesn't have to be done by you. So you focus on the stuff. If you're the creative one, you just do the stuff that makes your eyes sparkle and get other people to do the rest.
Does that help, Belinda?
Yeah, that's really great advice. Thank you so much, ladies.
Well, we wish you all the best with it.
Thank you.
Take care. Take care.
Thanks, Belinda.
Coming back on the previous lady that texted in about being concerned, really thinking that she couldn't start a family because she's the major breadwinner in the family. Just to come back on that, and Tricia, just wanted to get your thoughts again. If somebody's saying that they don't think they can start a family, some would say you started a family and you were pretty up against it in the early years. So what would your advice be?
Yes, I was up against it, but remember, I didn't start life as a single mum. that was the plan, to be as a two. First of all, can I say I think this lady is being really responsible because she's thinking about it. I think far too many people have kids without giving a second's thought to it. They just have babies. So good on you for actually thinking it through. If it's something you really, really, really want to do, though, figure out a way to make it work. If, you know, with your partner, figure it out. There's two of you. Two of you are raising this child, and two of you are having this child. So figure it out how it's going to do it. If you're the breadwinner and he's earning less, maybe you could be a house husband or something. Maybe, whatever.
I mean, why not?
Why not? A zillion different options.
Yeah.
But talk about it and think about it. It's not impossible, but it doesn't just happen.
Why wouldn't that be an option? I mean, why not have a house husband? Do you think that's a possibility in the UAE? Donna?
Why not? Probably not for me, it wouldn't be, but for others potentially, yes. I mean, you think about it, if you're the breadwinner and your husband is not earning a decent salary, I would put it, that if you can weigh that up between him not working and bringing up your children at the same time, well, you can't really pay for that. And it's all about the trust, getting them to school on time. He might teach them swimming during the day. I don't know, whatever it may be. You know, that would have been, and in fairness, a few of my friends, you know, their husbands also don't work. And it's whatever works for you and your family.
Yes,
that's the problem that people have. It's a perception in life that, oh, my husband has to work because such and such's husband works and we can't have that. And people talk about it. It's actually whatever works for you and your family.
Yep.
And if that works, well, who cares what people say?
Yep.
You know, it's whatever works for you. So no, I'm not against that. But if you're the breadwinner, you're earning a good salary and you can get along with it, why not?
I was looking at an article from the National newspaper regarding what it costs to have a child, raise a child. Mm. And it was focusing on their contributor to the article, Elise Hayne, with her husband, Stuart, looking at returning to work. And they actually talk about it 2006, then 2009. But bringing it up to date with analysis from Killick Offshore, revealing that a mother with two children contemplating a return to the office in the UAE needs to earn a minimum of 10,200 dirhams to break even once she factors in childcare costs and any work-related expenses. This translates into over 122,000 dirhams a year. Talking about working mums and balancing it all, and can you have it all? That's the old adage, isn't it? Can you have it all as a working mum? What do you think on that? Let us know. And coming back on some stats here in the National newspaper about you need to be earning a minimum of 10,200 dirhams a month to take in childcare costs, work-related expenses. What do you think about that, Louise? What are you finding in with your role?
That does seem quite high, but what we're finding with our candidates is that financially, it's not necessarily finance that's making people want to return to work. Yes, it is playing a part, and we are seeing an increase in that. I think as maybe some husbands' jobs aren't quite as stable as they used to be, but I think, you know, probably like us around the table as well, you know, we want to work. They want to go back into the workplace. They haven't changed since they had, well, they have changed since they have a baby, but, you know, they're still the same person, woman inside, and they've still got a lot to give to the workplace. There's a massive untapped talent out there, you know, that is just sitting there and waiting to go back into the region, into business. And it's a big mistake if businesses aren't ready to sort of take that up. again, coming back to the point all these women are after is some flexibility in terms of being able to balance the home life and the work.
What about things like maternity leave? What's the situation with that?
Well, obviously, you know, here in the in Dubai, we're still at 45 days. Many companies are extending that just on a case by case basis. And I'm sure that the other women around the table would mirror my view on, you know, it needs to be extended. 45 days is not appropriate. I don't think you need longer than that to be at home with your baby. But hopefully we'll move towards 90 days as they've done in Abu Dhabi for government.
Yeah, I mean, I think maternity, 45 days is not a lot. I mean, when you compare the rest of the world, but at the end of the day, it is 45 days and you have to deal with 45 days. So it's how you, again, your relationship with your boss, what you can do, what agreement you can come to. Is it? So I have one of my staff just gone on maternity leave and she wanted an extra 2 months off, but she still wanted to earn some money. So we worked out that you can work 10 hours a week. I let her work from home because I trust her. And, you know, she was really happy with that. And she'll come back and she'll work 4 days a week. So it's really balancing out what they need. And you have to have that trust. But on the flip side, as soon as you break that trust, then you've broken the whole contract and the deal as well. So it's got to work for both parties. And I think having a female boss that's a little bit more nurturing from that side with mums. But and it also depends on the position as well. You've got to run a company at the same time. So it's
and it's
just
costly
really
running a business. You know, you're a business owner as well. So
yeah, it does become costly, and especially if they're in senior positions as well. You know, they have to be switched on. You're missing that position, so sometimes you can't afford not to have that extra time off. But again, it's working with the employee and it's what works for them. Can they work from home? Can they do shorter hours and longer leave? So it really just depends on the situation.
So Tricia, Donna, you've been in the UAE a long time working. What springs to mind when you look back and see where we are today? Any major changes or differences from 15, 20 years ago to working life today in the UAE?
Well, I see huge changes. I mean, when I first came, it's interesting with the mums at work thing. Great concept, because I can remember thinking that when I very first came to Dubai, there's a real untapped pool of talent here. So I mean, there just weren't flexible jobs at all in those days. There was hardly anything, and so many professional women. Well, often they'd come to Dubai and find that their job didn't exist, or in the same way, or they'd find that it was paid peanuts, and so it was crazy, or it was just totally and utterly inflexible. So a lot of women chose not to work, and there's always been such a need for this sort of thing. So I think it's great you've done it.
Thank you.
It's great. Great platform.
Credit to David McKenzie from McKenzie Jones, because it was his idea, completely his idea, and he'll kill me if I don't say that. No, it was David's idea, and it was born literally from a conversation he had with a friend of his at lunch. She's a lawyer, and she took 4 years out to have a family, which is fine, perfect. And then she came to him and said, why can't you find me a job? You know, my DNA hasn't changed. And that kind of resonated with him, because it's very true. You don't change because you become a mother. I think you develop because you become a mother, and you're a lot better at many things, such as multitasking and prioritizing. And that gave him the seed of thought for Mums at Work. And we created sort of the first company in the region to be doing this.
And when you've had a great uptake on this, I think many women do want to work. But, you know, we still have to be realistic about the fact that women can be pulled in many different directions. And you know, if a baby or child falls ill, you've got to be there. So it is about understanding that, and what's it going to cost the business to employ. And you know, it's a tricky area, because in certain parts of the world there are regulations in place, and you can't discriminate according to gender or circumstance with regards to whether you're a mum or not. Having said that, when I worked in London, I was asked once, did I plan to have a child? And I was completely shocked that somebody asked me that question, particularly for the job I was going for. It was absolutely not related. And it was a woman that was interviewing me, interestingly. So, when it comes to salaries as well, is it? You were saying it's not always about financial gain, the reasons why women want to go to work as mothers. And yet, if you're doing a certain job and you realise that a male counterpart is being paid higher than you, how can that be right? Donna, what do you think?
Yeah, I've got different views on all of that. I have to say, I have asked people before if they're having another baby. But it's not, and I've had many of them come back that if I was in America, you could sue me. And I said that we're not. So were in Dubai. I didn't want to know for the reason of them having another baby, not to employ them. I just wanted to know, in fairness, it's about their future. Are they stable in Dubai? Where they're at with their life? You know, and it's not about having, because I'm all about women having babies and working. And I actually asked this one lady who was, she was reception, and she actually was very honest with me, and she said she was 8 weeks pregnant. And, you know, I gave her the position straight away because she was honest with me. She could have lied to me. And I'm all about employing women that are pregnant and supporting them because, you know, it's an opportunity for women. They get back in the workforce. You know, women are huge, huge multitaskers. And I think with women, one of the things they lack, whether it's pre having a baby or after they have a baby, it's just getting that confidence coming back to work, because there isn't a lot of part-time work here, and it's just building that confidence. If you've had a year off work and you want to go back to work, you were great at your job beforehand, so why can't you be good at your job now? If anything, you'll be better at it because you've got so much more going on. And I have a saying that you always ask a busy person to do something,
definitely,
never a non-busy person, because it just somehow doesn't get done. So you know women out there who want to work, you know, build that confidence, get back on the horse, get out there. We are multitaskers. Where there's a problem, there's always a solution. And, you know, you can do it all. You can do it.
Lots of you texting in with your thoughts on what you need as a working mum in the UAE to make life a little bit easier when you're trying to juggle it all. Also asking you whether you can have it all as a mum here. Let me introduce to you first our contestants. So going to the phone lines to play the Sunday quiz. A very good afternoon to Sarah and Belinda. We've got Belinda back on. So Sarah Hales, Belinda Freeman. How are you, ladies?
Good, thank
Good,
you.
Thank you, hi.
Excellent. Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a mum, and I just went back to work, actually, this September. Now my kids are in school. That's me. Been here 8 years.
And how's it going back in work with the kids, juggling it all?
Okay. I'm only part-time. A lot of reliance on friends, a lot of juggling, but it's fun. It's good to be back, actually.
Oh, excellent. So you're ready. Do you like a bit of general knowledge quizzing?
I do. I'm not always that good.
Well, listen, the topic today is moms, so I think you'll be absolutely fine. And Belinda, it's great to have you playing with us today as well. Do you like a bit of general knowledge quizzing?
Let's see. Sarah might be having a lucky day.
The rules are really simple. I'm going to give you three questions each. The person with the most answers correct is the winner. But if we go to tiebreaker and it's even Stevens, then we've got a tiebreaker question ready. We've got Judge Hanan waiting in the wings. Hello to you, Hanan.
Hello.
So Hanan's going to be scoring, and she is the one. She's got the power. So if there's any dispute, we'll be going to Hanan to get the final answer. So, ladies, are you ready to play the Sunday quiz?
Yes.
It's the Sunday quiz, only on Dubai Today, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
So, Sarah, we're going to start with you, and I'm going to give you the question, and each of you, when you have your question, you will get 5 seconds to answer. So here's your question number one, Sarah. Ready to play?
Yep.
What is the name of Bart Simpson's mum?
Marge Simpson.
That is the correct answer. Now over to you, Belinda. Here's your question. What's the name of the American hard-working, prominent mother of teenage daughters, Sasha and Malaya?
Michelle Obama.
It is indeed Michelle Obama. So here's your next question, Sarah.
Okay.
Molly is the mother of which children in the Harry Potter series?
Oh, I don't know. The Weasley brothers?
That's correct. It's the Weasleys. Well done. Okay, Belinda, here's your next question. What's the name of the British girl band who wrote the pop song dedicated to their mums and included the lyrics, "Back then, I didn't know why you were misunderstood, so now I see through your eyes, all that you did was love"?
I think it's the Spice Girls.
You are indeed correct. It was the Spice Girls. So here's your next question, Sarah.
Okay.
Which mother of one is an Indian film actress, producer and former model who was on the cover of the first ever issue of OK magazine to be sold in India?
Oh, I don't know. Aishwarya Rai?
It was Shilpa Shetty.
Ah.
Here's your next question, Belinda. According to the popular English language nursery rhyme, there was an old woman who had so many children, she didn't know what to do. Where did she live?
In a shoe.
She did indeed live in a shoe. So, Judge Hannan, scores on the doors, please.
So Sarah got 2 and Belinda got 3.
Ah, congratulations, Belinda. You are the winner
well
of the
done,
Sunday.
Belinda.
Yeah, and thanks for playing, Sarah. It was close. I thought we were going for a tiebreaker there. But yeah, Belinda, congratulations. You're the winner.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Talking about working mums today with my guests, let me reintroduce to you at table today. We've got Louise Kareem, Managing Director of Mums at Work. It's a recruitment agency for mums, for women, helping them in the career, with their career paths, getting into work or indeed continuing with their career path. So it's great to have you with us today, Louise.
Thank you.
How did you get on with the quiz?
Not too bad. A couple, right?
Also founder and chairman of the Entertainer Books. You know those books, we love them. 2 for 1s. Donna Benton, mum of 2, 15 years in the making of the Entertainer and growing.
It is. Thank you, Suzanne. The app. We're all about the app now.
I know. The app, of course. Yeah. And how? And how? And so, so monitoring Entertainer. How many followers? How many people are engaging, interacting with the Entertainer app?
Wow, yeah, a lot. 85% of our customers are now app. We now are up to around about 250 staff, and we roughly put in $1.3 billion into the community each year. Wow. So, yeah, so it's great, and I love the fact that we save people a lot of money. It's affordable for people to go out all the time, at the same time creating revenue for merchants and outlets as well, keeping a business up and going as well. So that's something we're really proud of.
It's a great synergy on so many different levels. And of course, you've got different aspects to the app and Entertainer, haven't you? So if you want to go fine dining, if you want to, you know, leisure.
Body, beauty. And for those who haven't downloaded our new app, please make sure you go to your app store and do it, because there's lots of different features and everything that we've just launched.
Excellent stuff. So she is mom to Chloe and Jack, now 6 and 8 years of age. Alongside, we've got Tricia
six
Evans.
And three.
Is it? Sorry, six and three.
Got it. Unless I'm missing something.
Sorry. So Chloe's okay. 6 and Jack's 3, right? Yes. Excellent. Tricia's here. Tricia Evans, business coach, residing in the UAE for 23 years, raising her daughter here. She's a business coach, but she's been raising her daughter, Sian, who just this summer flew the nest.
She did. So she's on her gap year. I'm very enormously proud of her. Because it's funny, it's tough. I'm missing her like crazy. But my dream when I was a mum, when I was pregnant, actually, first read something called Roots and Wings. And I thought, what does that mean for me? And for me, that's always meant unconditional love. And that's something my mum and dad gave to us. So there is always base camp. And that's never more important than now when she's flying the nest. Mm-hmm. Number 2 is a great education. For me, that's very holistic. She was at a sports academy for sixth form. She's a gifted sports woman. So it's about sports, it's about music, it's about creativity, things. The third one was travel, because as expats, travel just gives you a perspective on life. Life, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely no surprise to me that she's chosen a gap year, and she's heading off to South America for about 4 months, Central America for 2 months, North America for about 6. So really proud. But the wings is the confidence to fly, and I think that's a gift we can all give our kids, and it definitely does not just happen. And I think that's really important. But the downside is when they leave, I'm actually feeling rather sad these
days. Go with
her,
Trish.
Yeah.
I think South America could be good for 4 months.
It is. I'm going to visit them in Central America. But I'm thrilled. She's flying, and that I've enabled that, and I'm thrilled.
Yeah, and that, you know, should be very proud of yourself. You've done a great job. If you've got an 18-year-old daughter that feels the confidence and the ability and the support to fly the nest, she's grown up here in Dubai. She's in Germany at the moment. She's heading off to South America. She's doing great guns, isn't she? And she's got a place at university. Yeah. So you know, it must be hard letting her go, because it would have been nice to kept her here a bit longer. But you've done a great job. That's what we want, isn't it? For kids to feel that confidence, to feel that they can go and always come back.
It is that. And she's amazed me already, actually, because she went to Germany. Her boyfriend's half German, half South African, staying in Germany for a few months to work, to earn money for the trip. And she said, I'll get a job when I'm there. And I sort of thought, really? You don't speak German? And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, there she is. She's working at an international hostel. You know, learning bar work, restaurant work, greeting work. I mean, absolutely fantastic. But a real letting go. A week after she got, she's in Munich, and a week after she left home, there was a shooting in Munich, and she was five minutes away. So I tell you what, letting go has been tough this summer. So it's been one of those things. But there you go. I'm thrilled and very enormously proud of her.
Well, people texting in with their stories, and Arifa saying support is definitely key. And in my case, I could not have set up the business without the support from my husband and family. It's really important that you believe in yourself and have a good network of people around you supporting you. Being an expat and having a lack of family in Dubai, your friends become your family. We'll talk more on this when we come back, and, you know, how you connect with others and fitting it all in. And we'll be hearing from the CEO of Pepsi, hearing what she had to say. It still resonates today. Really, she says that she doesn't believe that women can have it all. What do you think? Do we think that women can have it all? You know, you're married, you're a wife, you've got a job, you're working, you've got children. Is it okay? Does something have to give? Is something going to be compromised? Is something going to be suffer one aspect of your life if you've got so much going on? What do you think? Let me know on 4001. I want to have a little listen here now to Indra Nooyi, who made remarks. This was a couple of years ago at the Aspen Ideas Festival. She's CEO of PepsiCo, and she insists that women can't have it all. Let's have a listen to this.
I don't think women can have it all. I just don't think so. We pretend we have it all. We pretend we can have it all. You know, my husband and I married for 34 years, and we have two daughters. And every day you have to make a decision on whether you are going to be a wife or a mother. In fact, many times during the day, you have to make those decisions. And you have to co-opt a lot of people to help you. We co-opted our families to help us. We plan our lives meticulously so we can be decent parents. But if you ask our daughters, I'm not sure they will say that I've been a good mom. I'm not sure. And I try all kinds of coping mechanisms. I mean, I'll tell you a story that happened when my daughter went to Catholic school, Convent of Sacred Heart. And every Wednesday morning, they have class coffee with mothers. Class coffee with mothers for a working woman. How is it going to work? How am I going to take off 9 o'clock on Wednesday mornings to go for a class coffee? So I miss most class coffees. My daughter would come home and she'd say, list of all the mothers that were there, and you were not their mom. First few times, I would die with guilt. But I developed coping mechanisms. I called the school and I said, give me a list of mothers who were not there. So when she came home, in the evening, she'd say, you were not there, you were not there. I said, Mrs. Rag wasn't there, you know, Mrs. So-and-so wasn't there. So I'm not the only bad mother. You know, you have to cope because you die with guilt. You just die with guilt. My observation, David, is that the biological clock and the career clock are in total conflict with each other. Total, complete conflict. When you have to have kids, you have to build your career. Just as you're rising to middle management, your kids need you because they're teenagers, they need you for the teenage years. And that's the time your husband becomes a teenager too. So he needs you. Sorry. They need you too. So what do you do? And as you grow even more, your parents need you because they're aging. So we're screwed. I mean, we cannot have it all.
Well, there you go. So Mrs. Nooyi says that you can't have it all. She is CEO of PepsiCo. She's the mother of two and ranked 13 on the Forbes list of powerful women in 2014. She's 58 years of age, or maybe 60 now. She makes some interesting points there. I thought, you know, particularly about your biological clock and your career clock not being in sync. What do you think about that, Donna?
Yeah, that was quite funny, actually. I thought it's quite true. Look, for me, I'm a little bit the unrealistic optimistic. So I believe you can have it all. It's just what is it all? You know, what's important to you and your family? So obviously she's CEO of Pepsi. That's a huge position. You know, she's on the Forbes most powerful list. So yeah, she has huge responsibility. But what's important to you? And no one is the perfect mother. You know, it doesn't matter working, non-working, whatever position. No one can be there at the whole time. You know, coffee mornings, I don't do coffee mornings. I'm a working mother, but I make up for it in other ways. So all children need is love, safety, attention, and that you're there. You don't have to be at everything to be a good mother. So look, you can have it. There needs to be a balance. And the biggest thing for me is what works for you and your family.
Mm. Louise?
I totally agree. It's what is all, you know, being at every coffee morning, being at every play date, being at every meeting. You have to prioritise. You have to prioritise probably hour to hour or day to day, you know, what is the right thing to do right now? What's the right thing for my family? Where can my husband support me? Where can other members of the family support me? And I echo what Donna's saying, you know, as long as your children have got love, they've got support and they've got a safe place to be, then that's enough for them. And it's really...
But that's all right for you to say. And I know what you're... I understand what you're saying, and you may know that, but your child might not know that. Yeah. I mean, and they might have... Yeah, okay. They have a sense that they're loved and they're secure without conscious. So that's true.
But it's
they're still going to notice when mum isn't at certain things, if all the other mums are. When are the times that your children... Where that guilt... I know a lot of women, working mums, carry that dreaded word guilt with them all the time. But, you know, realistically, yes, of course, you can't be there all the time, and it's probably a good lesson in life for children, and maybe they have, as long as they've got somebody there, or at least they're aware. But what kind of dialogue do you have with your child if they're saying, well, you weren't there, mum?
I would say to that, Susan, it's, you can't be at everything. So what I say to my kids is, you know, mummy has to work to earn money to go on holidays, so you live in a nice house so you can go to school. There's got to be a sacrifice at some point. So if you want me to stop working, I can go to the coffee mornings, but we won't be going away in summer, you know. So then they sort of get it. And then if you give them that option, they're like, okay, don't worry about the coffee morning then. Or you make up for it in other ways. So what fits into for my lifestyle is I take generally a Thursday off work. So then I can take my daughter to gymnastics and I make up for it in other ways. And it's all about communication with your kids and what you tell them. And yeah, the love and the safety and the manners and the health, that all comes into it. But it's how you actually communicate it to them and the way you express it to them. And look, at the end of the day, I'm sure they don't even know if you're at the coffee morning half the time here. They're more worried about playing with their friend at school or
what about things like parents' evening or the school play or
so those things are important in family as well. You do make sacrifices for that. And you would say to your boss, and again, I have a lot of people come to me, can I come in late? I've got my child's school sports on. And
Coming back to communication with your employer or managing your time if you're a business owner, you know, prioritizing what is the really important things I need to do today or this week.
Yeah, so to pick up on that in terms of, you know, what is all for you, because I think it's a three-way thing here. It's partly your personality, partly the life stage you're at, and I've always been out of sync. I've always done things out of order. So that comment I thought was interesting, the biological clock and career clock, but I've sort of done things differently, so it doesn't really apply. But the thing that really is important is the child's personality. Now, as a coach, I used to think it was a joke that you could track everything back to childhood. It's not a joke. You can track everything back to childhood. Mm. It is startling. I have a very healthy business in Dubai because of things that have happened in people's past. So I think it's really, really, really important to take in mind with the child's personality. Like my daughter Sean, I thought I had the shyest child on the planet. I wondered whose kid she was. I really did. As a single mum, I thought she was going to be like me, you know, fairly extrovert. She's infinitely more private, infinitely so. And, you know, so things like it would not have worked for me not to be around or to disappear off. I needed to be there. Mm-hmm. I had like a really big client, biggest client for 16 years. I used to go to Holland about 5 times a year. My mum would come over, called her the most expensive babysitter on the planet, and I had my housekeeper, and that was fine. But when she was about 9, and my daughter was fine, when she was about 9, she started to get distraught if I travelled. Mm. And it's when kids' brains, they click in. She would say to me, but what happens to me if something happens to you, mum? And I'd say, well, you know, granny will look after you. And she said, but she's old, she'll be dead soon. What happens to me then? And kids get to an age where they can extrapolate, they can think. And it was really important. So I gave up that client because it was too important to be there. And one thing I've always done with her, because of the style, her personality, she's always needed me there. So if I've been ultra busy in work, and of course we all have times when you hardly see each other, for our whole life, we have dates. We've had regular dates.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
We go out, and you know, she's just put, she, quite nice actually. She put a letter. She left a letter for me when she travelled, and one of the things she said was how important the dates were, and how she will always. Mm. It's like freezing a moment in time. She said, "Whenever I feel bad, I remember that." And those dates could have been cycling down to the beach, getting a shawarma, and sitting and watching the sun go down and chatting. And you know, it's time with you. Kids need so it's really important to factor in the kids as well.
Sometimes
so,
it's the little know, things that go yeah. a long way. It's not.
It's always the little
buying
things.
Them a present. It's mm. the little. Things
it's the time and. It's yeah. so funny you say that. I just said to my husband this weekend, oh, I think on Thursday I'm going to stay just with Hamdan because I have two small boys, so it's very difficult because you feel like, you know, you never give either of them the right time. And I'm going to take him out on his own on
really
Thursday
special.
And spend time
lovely.
With him.
Yeah, but I was at just out for breakfast a couple of months ago, and there was a family there with about a 6-month baby with an iPad strapped to the pram. Oh. And I thought, oh dear God, what God. On earth have they had this child for?
Yeah.
And as a lot of my friends in, you know, the foundation units of really good schools say half of the schools who start school can't speak.
Wow.
Because they've been plonked in front of a screen. Now, sorry, can you have it all? Well, you've got to decide what the hell it means. And if you're going to have a child, what sort of a mother do you want to be? What sort of a family do you want to raise them in? What sort of environment? And I feel absolutely passionately about that. But on one hand, I get a great business because so many messed up people have had, you know, you know, different backgrounds. But it's so important. Look at your child and see what they need and work from there.
And remember, you're probably not, I mean, even if you're a single mum, you're probably not the only person that can can help. You know, you either have help at home or you have family. Yeah. Or you have your husband, so call on that, or friends even, call on them and get them to help you be able to
well
do
we come
it.
Back we'll
really
talk more
point.
About community in the UAE, and as one person mentioned earlier, you know, if you don't have your family close by, your friends become your family, and it's your support network as well. So where you go to, there's organisations, there's Mum at Work, there's lots of different ways you can connect with others to share and to learn and to maybe get support as well. Jordi Armani, good morning to you, saying all your guests have like flexibility as they have their own businesses. Try finding a job that works around school runs and time off during school holidays. Even jobs in school only give 45 days leave, as we were talking about earlier, when it comes to maternity leave. So what are your thoughts? What are the challenges? What are the easy bits as well? What are the joys? Because there's a lot of joy to raising a family in the UAE. Yeah. I know for you, Tricia, you're very close to the beach, so a lot of time spent there with your daughter. Yeah. There's all that outdoor activity. There's a lot on offer for kids and families to get involved in whilst juggling and managing your working life. So stay with us, more to come. And we're going to the phone lines now. We've got Kate on the line. She is a finance manager, working mum of two sons, 4 and 1. Good afternoon to you, Kate.
Hi.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
So what did you want to raise today with us, Kate?
Yeah, really. I mean, I went back to work after 4 months after having my first and second child, and have been through the trials of just being able to manage the life of day to day, bringing up children and looking after them, and making sure the house is running smoothly, whilst also trying to hold down a fairly stressful job. And I think what I'd like to just say is that what I'd like to see more of in Dubai is more options for mums that want to return to work for to have part-time options. It's very difficult here to find that, and so you're forced to really do one or the other, stay at home or enter full-time employment again.
We were talking before about whether we think we can have it all. Can mums have it all when it comes to work and raising a family? And that word guilt came through, as it always does. What do you feel guilty? Do you feel guilty going to work?
Yeah, sure. I think once you have children, that feeling of guilt just comes as part of when you have them. So no matter what you do, there's always a sense of guilt that, you know, am I doing the right thing for them? But certainly, yeah, I mean, I feel sometimes that guilty that I can't give 110% at work because I need to get home in time to feed them, put them to bed and spend time with them, of course. And then, you know, on the other side, you know, I feel guilty that, you know, I'm not at home being able to spend more time playing and helping them in their development. So there's always a sense that you're not doing either job 110% well.
I think that resonates quite strongly with many people. Would you, I mean, do you have to work? I mean, would you rather not work? Would you rather have more time with the children? Or would you rather have more time in your career? Which way would you prefer to go?
Well, I work very hard to get my accountancy qualification, and I value my career, and I have a strong sense of, you know, feeling like I want to have that financial independence, mm-hmm. and also to give a good impression to my children that, you know, you have to work hard to get the things that you want. So in some sense, you know, I'm very much, you know, want to be working. However, you know, when the children are very young, it would be nice to actually get to spend that time with them. When they're so little and they need that kind of nurturing and the development, I'm not there to do it. So yes, I do need to work financially. We have to. It's very expensive living here. Schooling, you know, requires two incomes. Certainly in my circumstances. However, if I lived in the UK and I had free education, I probably would still choose to work, yes, but part-time, certainly to the point that they got to an age where they were, you know, at school.
Ladies, who'd like to come back on this? Yeah, Louise.
Completely understand where you're coming from, and that's kind of why we were created, and we've started Mums at Work, and we are seeing a sort of shift change in employers' views on part-time and flexible working. It is taking a little bit of time. We see with the multinationals, they're very, very open to more flexible ways of working, and also with smaller companies such as SMEs, and we are working hard, as I say, to educate people into the benefits of it, because there's definitely benefits for businesses, not only in the level of talent that they can get, but also in terms of salaries and flexibility, because, you know, they can have a role, a senior person in a role, but only have them part-time, so obviously that's half the salary. So people are seeing that opportunity. I think it's just taking a little bit of time and education to the legality of it, because a lot of businesses have asked us how this works, and from a legal point of view, and it's actually quite simple. Bear with us, we're working on it.
And Tricia?
Well, I think it'd be great. The more options, the better, actually. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just having choices, isn't it? That's what people need. You said that you need to work, that you and your husband, financially. I understand that actually it's your job that has the provisions, the benefits. Is this right, for schooling, for your children's education?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm very fortunate position to have schooling, or a large percentage of the schooling fees covered for. That's a huge benefit.
And so what would you advise others then, Kate, if people were thinking or listening to this and, you know, maybe wanting to pick up a career or even start a new career or just want to work, but, you know, going back into the workplace having had children, what advice would you give?
I think making sure that you have appropriate childcare that you're confident in is key, and certainly, you know, making sure that you can get them to and from school or their whatever childcare arrangements you have, and having confidence that someone can carry that out for you, so that you can actually relax and you know, do your other job. I think probably the most important thing is to make sure that you know that what you're doing is right for yourself, and it's not what you think isn't necessarily what might be right for someone else. You know, I meet lots of parents, and in the play areas when you drop them off, and there's a sense of, you know, don't you feel like you should be there with them? And, you know, and likewise, others, I think, looking at you longingly, thinking, oh, isn't it great that she goes off to work and doesn't have to stay at home with the kids? So I think, you know, just having that belief in yourself that what you're doing is right, and there are no right or wrong answers.
Well, thank you very much for your call today, Kate. We wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, just hearing people's stories, you know, everyone's different, got various different circumstances, and it's what's right for you. It's a really good message, and about that support as well. So where do you go to and what do you live by? So let's start with maybe some words of inspiration, or is there a saying, or was there advice given to you that you've lived by? Donna, for you.
Wow, I have lots of sayings, but two that really springs to mind are, I'm quite a mental person. For those who know me with my personality, I think you can achieve something if you really put your mind to it. So for me, it's tough times come and go, tough people last forever. So that's a mental thing. If you fall down, get back on the horse, believe in yourself, you can do it. And another one is the difference between try and triumph is the oomph. You know, If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. You've got to put that little bit extra in. It's what you put in is what you get out. You know, when you're successful, everyone thinks you're so lucky. Lucky is winning the lottery. It's about what you've done. Get that oomph. And if you believe in yourself, you have passion, you'll get there.
For you, you know, juggling it all, big business and family, children, what makes you feel good? At the end of the day, just before you switch the light out, when you're going to sleep at night, what makes you feel... You know, what
getting some sleep.
You know, what will think that was a good day for you?
Oh, gosh, that could be anything. Knowing that, you know, my family's safe, they're there, I've had a good day at work, I do my exercise in the morning. You know, there's a lot of things that come into it. It's not really lights are off and it's done and what's happening tomorrow. It's really how you feel, what you've achieved during the day, what you can accomplish, what you've done for other people. That's a really big thing for me. Giving back is a really big thing. And that my kids, my family is safe and they're happy.
So mottos, what you stand by when you are a mom, a working mom. Aruma says, as a parent, we'll make mistakes, but kids are so resilient. They deserve a lot more credit than we probably grant them. Her motto, as a mom, never second guess myself once I've decided or moved on to something. We were just talking there about living life in blocks, you know, compartmentalizing our life. So when you're with the kids, you're really with the kids. When you're in work, you're totally present and in work. And your day becomes a series of blocks where you're able to focus in. That's one tool or technique or mechanism for survival or coping, I don't know. But for you, Louise, what do you live by? What's your motto or saying?
I've got quite a few, but one that sort of resonates with me, my grandma used to say it to me all the time, is there's no such word as can't. Yeah. So very much focused on getting things done and that there's no barriers to what you can do.
Nice one. And Tricia?
Mine's it's what my business is based on. Be successful on purpose. Don't guess. Don't faff around. Decide what you want and then do the stuff that gets you there.
And I know that you're a big reader and you read a lot of books. And maybe there's, I don't know if there's any that spring to mind that you've, you know, have helped you.
Yeah, the ones that there's a guy from Australia called Steve Biddulph who writes great books for parents. He's really good. Yeah, but one of them was my Bible for so many years, Secrets of Raising Happy Children, and it's all about. It's just a lovely, lovely, lovely book. It was great, and more Secrets of Raising. And there's a book he wrote, a book called Raising Boys, which I think should be compulsory reading for every mother of a boy on the planet. The world would be different if, you know, boys were raised like that. And the other thing for mothers of teenage daughters, there's some great books for teens because you. Parents tend to read a ton when they're little and they forget when they're teenagers. The most shocking and most useful book I read was called Queen Bees and Wannabes. And I read it and I was so shocked. I was shocked rigid by this. And I've seen it played out in front of my very eyes for the last, you know, 8 years. Shocking, but great reading. All I can say is be prepared.
I've got some for you here as well. The Make You Better book. So this is for working mums knowing how to multitask. So Gretchen Rubin's The Happiness Project, that was out a few years ago, and also by the same author, Better Than Before, Mastering the Habits of Our Everyday Lives Sooner Than Later. It's a great self-help book recommended here by the Huffington Post. Also, I like this one, The Holy Crap, How Do I Get It All Done?
Brilliant.
Great name.
So check that one out. And then the Comedic Relief book, so written before favourite funny mum books for book clubs. So favourites, I Just Want to Pee Alone, and you have Lipstick on Your Teeth is another book recommended with a bit of humour there. But yeah, getting that work-life balance, taking away some of the guilt, making your day flow as well as it can, and being able to, you know, there's a lot of sort of troubleshooting goes on for moms and in your working life and with children, you know. So as those phone calls come in or those situations arise, you've got to be able to handle them and deal with it. So aside from the children and your work and your husband, because of course you've got to be good wives as well, what do you do for you? You mentioned, Donna, that you exercise, so that's clearly something that helps you be prepared, but it's something for you too.
Yeah, I really enjoy exercising. I have a great group of girls that I exercise with as well, and I believe in healthy body, healthy mind. It releases endorphins, it gets you started for the day when you go early morning. You mix with great people and, you know, it keeps you fit and hopefully in shape.
Yeah.
So, look, that works for me. You know, going out with your friends, spending family time, you've got to have that bit of me time as well. Even going for a massage, preferably using an entertainer offer. Yeah, you've really got to work out what works for you, and have that me time, and just it's a lifestyle change, really.
Louise?
I'm training for marathon, so exercise is mine as well. That is my me time. That's my thinking time. Often go in the morning before I start work, otherwise I'll never get there. But also just, again, time with the family. Our Fridays are dedicated to our family. We have an extended family here, so that's really important. And not forgetting your girlfriends as well. We all need to let our hair down every now and again.
Absolutely.
Trisha, you and I have done many challenges with Golf for Good, and I'm always really pleased to see the women that take part on Golf for Good challenges, that have that time away from the family. It's something they wanted to do for themselves whilst giving back to others. What do you do for you?
Well, passionate adventure traveller. I like to go to at least one or two new countries a year, and have done for about 25 years. Enjoy wherever I live. I'm really amazed. You talk to people here, sometimes they live in Dubai and they've never been to Sharjah, or they've never been to Abu Dhabi. And I think, really? How can you be so incurious about where you live? So I'm passionate about exploring. Time with friends, great, but probably beach walks is my biggest fix. Better than alcohol, better than anything. And I tend to meet up with once a year, a sort of really good girlfriend of mine here, whenever we're both in the country, every Tuesday morning, 5:30 in the morning, we meet up on the beach and we walk for an hour and a half. Yeah. We solve all the problems in the world in that hour and a half.
Love a beach walk.
It's very grounding. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's perfect time for it to get out and about. Just to squeeze in, we had a call just before, if we can get your take or advice, if there's any on this. Renee's saying, I can't get a job. For four years I've been trying to get a job. My children are older. They're now 18 and 25. So Louise, maybe, I don't know if you've got any advice there. Mum's at work, for someone that's been out of the workplace for a while, older kids, you know, can they get back into the workplace?
Yeah, of course they can. As I mentioned earlier, you know, you haven't changed as a person just because you've not been working. You've still got all those skills and probably a hell of a lot more. I think it's keep yourself current, you know, decide what you want to do now, get up to speed with what's happening in the industry that you want to move into, who's hiring, who's expanding, who's working in certain fields, and just have that confidence, you know, again, come to a company. Ourselves, obviously, Mum's at work, we're running a lot of events and workshops to build confidence as well, because it can be a bit daunting going back into the workplace after 6 months, 4 years, 10 years. So surround yourself with other like-minded people and experts such as Trisha that can help you go back into the workplace with confidence.
Confidence is a big factor, I think, and that idea of staying current. You know, you might have been out the workplace for a few years, technology, whatever it is, don't be scared of it. The person was saying, they came back to say that what she's being told is that she's been out of the workforce for too long. Donna, what would you advise?
Oh, look, for me, I would just say to her, you know, never give up. You've got to put yourself out there. Go and network. You know, it's all word of mouth here in Dubai. And really, it's meeting the company. I'm not sure of the industry she's in, but it's actually finding the right person to give you an opportunity. It's, for me, it's not all about a CV and what's on it, because sometimes they lie as well. So it's about just giving a person an opportunity and a chance. But the one thing, she's got to get out there. You're not going to find a job at home with your kids as well. Get your girlfriend, get out there. Where if it's restaurant, meeting people at one of Louise's events, you've got to put yourself out there to meet people, and you've got to sell yourself at the same time.
You can network anywhere as well. You know, you can network at school, you can network, as you say, when you go out in the evenings. You just kind of have that sort of presence of mind that everywhere is an opportunity.
Trisha?
Yeah, very clear. They need to get clear on their brand as well, because we all have a brand, whether you know it or not. And a lot of mums at home aren't clear what they do. They say, oh, I can do a bit of anything. Mm. But they will never get a job like that, quite frankly. And actually, if you haven't stayed current, it's really important to stay current and keep up to date with what's going on and show that you've grown. In the same way that we encourage our kids to learn about things, to do things, to put on their CV for uni, we should be doing it too. Mm-hmm. The fact that you've got kids doesn't mean you should stop growing and developing and learning. And then it's learning how to present that in a way that solves problems for companies, and then that's your easy access way.
They need you.
They do need you. We have so much talent there, but you've got to present it in the right way.
Thank you, ladies, for your time today. It's been a real pleasure talking with Louise Kareem, Managing Director of Mums at Work. We've posted up details of Mums at Work on our blog post today for people to connect with you and your organisation, alongside founder and chairman of The Entertainer, that is Donna Benton. Look out for the app, download it, see what offers are there. There's many of them.
Exactly. quickly, get on to it, save money, brunches.
And as always, lovely to speak with Tricia Evans. We climbed Kilimanjaro together with Golf for Good, back on, firmly with our feet back on the ground. Tricia, as always, a grounded approach. That is, she's a business coach. You can check out her details on our blog post as well today. Thank you so much, Tricia. Thank you, Louise. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.